Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mystery, Miracles and Mysticism. I'm your host, Vanessa, and welcome to the show. I'm not sure if we have Joanne with us. Do we have Joanne?
I really hope so.
I wasn't sure if that was you. I was like,
some of her is with us. I know. I noticed my mic was being muted, and I was like, no, it is me. I swear, it's me. Oh, I like it. The title of our show this evening, drum roll, it's Life, Jim, but not as we know it. For all of you Trekkie fans out there.
Yeah.
Vanessa knows nothing about that. Do you, Vanessa?
Nothing at all. On that note, I've actually had a beautiful night because I've been feeling the stars, the sacred sentient stars. These are the stars in the sky, by the way, just in case people are thinking about, you know, something else. But these are the beautiful stars that you see at night. And I've been kind of feeling them calling me the last kind of couple of nights. And part of me is nearly like, you know, I'm coming tonight. And then it's like, no. And then, no, I'll do this tomorrow night. And no. So anyway, this evening is such a beautiful evening here in Ireland, and the sky is like crystal clear, and I decided to drive out to this beautiful beach, and there's no nothing, it's just lit up by the night stars, put it that way. And I went there, and oh my god, just absolutely incredible. So they started lighting up in sequence for me to see, and I could feel this communication, but there's also a lot of activity from the Star Brothers and Sisters I could see in the sky. There was a lot of craft, and so it was a really interesting night I had this evening before racing back to, and I was there for much longer than I realized, but what a beautiful display I've been looking at in the night sky, to be quite honest. And it's nearly like a communication with some friends again, and but also I observe a lot as well, so it's just really interesting, and spoke many ancient sacred languages. It felt like there was like this communication that needed to take place, and a lot of excitement as well. But many ancient sacred languages and star beings that wanted to communicate, actually.
Did they have anything specific that they wanted to talk about? Did you get anything in terms of their language, or was it translated, or would you... Actually, Vanessa, maybe you'd like to speak language and ask the star beings to communicate with you and see if they have any insights or any messages for the lesson. How interesting.
the lesson? All right, okay, we'll ask and see. I ask that all of the ancient sacred languages that I speak bless all of life and all of existence and the beloved earth, and that it benefits not just the one but the many.
Nita anakatumaran, ta mia takuta, urna tetatonia, kuma kitateia. When we come, we will visit you again, for much fun was had in this communication. Parnete te kita etruma, niteri nasetu nitiema.
This is actually a very new language that I'm speaking right now. And it's interesting because I've been picking up on languages most of the day.
Yeah.
And they've been in my awareness. But, because I know it was mentioned earlier on from yourself that, learning different languages has to activate the different parts of the brain. And I wondered about how that would affect when you're speaking the ancient sacred languages, because you're speaking when you speak the ancient sacred languages, and this has happened because of the beautiful retreat, by the way, for those who are new to the show,
and new to listening to our means, sacred teachings. This show is dedicated to Armin. She is world-leading mystic of her time and seer. And Joanna and I have both been privileged enough to attend Armin's retreats. And they are sacred beyond measure. And so part of taking part in some of these beautiful retreats and trying to walk the spiritual path as best as I can and express it and live it and embody it with great awareness. Part of one of the things that happened was that I was able to speak many ancient sacred languages. And so it's a beautiful journey of unknowable wonder for me, you know, tonight, because I didn't know I was going to end up there, and I didn't know that was going to happen, and I didn't know it was going to occur, even though I'd been feeling it, you know. So it was nearly like a reunion of some kind, you know. That's what it felt like. It felt like a reunion and a lot of excitement of communication with Star Brothers and Sisters. And my right hand just kind of jerked when I said that. Kind of just, it was instead of a knee-jerk reaction, I actually got a hand-thumb jerk reaction with my right hand, which would actually be interesting because it symbolically represents, hands represent relationship, which in the right is the masculine aspect. So maybe a reunion of maybe healing some communication within my masculine piece, which I actually do feel is actually occurring, actually. So very interesting.
So do you want to see if you can translate some of what they're saying, or do they have a message for us or what?
I don't know. I'll ask.
Ikena etekama nitaremekitai kishinitake mataumia. We have come from many distant galaxies to listen, and it is with great joy that we have come here too. We are very happy to speak with you now.
Kinitekalketapumba kinitetik metaparik napala misetatinite.
Many changes have occurred on this sacred day, as the governments on Earth are also changing.
Okay.
We come and we play also. We like to just listen now.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you. I'm not going to go too much into this.
Thank you for that. We don't really want to impart anything. We're just here to, you know, to sit back and, you know, put our feet up and get a cup of tea. Yeah, that's okay, you star being. You just relax. You don't help us at all.
Well, they're playing their role to perfection.
Yeah. So, it's interesting, Vanessa, because I had actually been picking up on, I was saying to you earlier on, I'm doing some research at the moment for a kind of a big project that I am working on. And at the moment, it's kind of like not really, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. I'm not even sure what kind of needle I'm looking for, if you know what I mean. So I've been kind of researching different things, and I came across a YouTube video of Stephen Hawking. For anybody who doesn't know Stephen Hawking, he's a scientist. He's quite a famous scientist who at some point in his life had an illness that basically left him, that he just couldn't move or whatever. So he learned to communicate by, you know, developing a device like a computer or something like that that helps him talk. I know there's a film actually that came out about him recently. So he's always been fascinated by the universe and how it was made. So I was looking at, I'm just halfway through this video right now. It's all about, they were talking about how the universe formed and how our planetary system came about as well, and how our, you know, how Earth came into being. And it was fascinating. They said that before the Big Bang, there was no outside. There was just an inside. And, you know, immediately when I heard that, I was thinking about, you know, all of the tools that Amin has given, the most recent of which being the runes, but all of the tools that she gives are to do with, you know, finding qualities within and expressing them or whatever, so that they become manifest in the world around us. And it seems that there was just within, no without, there was no anything, just within. And so then this big, I suppose, explosion happened, this massive explosion. Literally within a minute, you know, the universe was formed. I mean, within 30 seconds, there was, you know, a huge amount of space formed. I wish I could remember the exact details of it, but it was fascinating. And they said that it started off with these gases, and some of them were thicker and some were thinner. And the gases then kind of, because gravity existed, the gases kind of literally gravitated together, and they formed eventually over probably millions of years, they formed elements, the elements that make up the whole universe. And and then they went to describe about what happens with a star when it explodes, and the elements that are created when a star dies and whatever. And they said, you know, that you know, if you've got a gold ring, that ring actually was forged from a star, which is just mind-blowing stuff, you know. But one of the things that I found fascinating was they were talking about how the Earth was formed. And they said that, a massive, massive star exploded. And a new star, the force of it, created a new star, which is our sun. And the explosion, these gases that formed as a result of the explosion of this star basically kind of compressed together, and over thousands and thousands of years, probably millions of years, formed, our Milky Way, our galaxy, and then formed eventually the Earth. And the Earth was in the exact position from the sun, the exact distance from the sun to allow life to evolve and all this kind of stuff. And then the scientist said something like, you know, so this is a question that people have been, you know, asking for as long as they've existed, pretty much, as, you know, is there a God? Could this have happened, you know, all of this by accident, or was this by design? And he made an argument which I felt was kind of weak, but it was like, he said, well, what if there was another universe and none of these explosions had happened, and none of all of, you know, the stuff that causes the elements to come together came into being, because the elements actually draw together as a result of imperfections, which I thought was really fascinating. It's not the perfections that cause life, it's the imperfections. Amazing. And he said, well, if that hadn't happened, then, you know, in another universe, then that life wouldn't have formed. And I just thought, well, that's not a really strong argument to suggest that there may not be a source to existence. You know, it seems, you know, even if you look at it from a logical perspective, it seems much more likely that it is by design and not by accident. So why am I telling you all of this? I don't really know.
Why?
But I just think it's really fascinating. One of the things that came to me actually was on our meeting, one of the, do you remember the last kind of, the last set of online courses that you did before the stroke happened?
I am present.
The I am present, thank you. Do you remember there was one I was wondering about all of this. There was one where she goes into a really deep meditative state. She's lying on the bed. And Edward here is actually...
The sleeping seer.
Yes.
The sleeping seer.
Is that the name of that chorus?
I think it was a 5-minute audio, and she was predicting. She was in altered states of being.
Yes.
And she was predicting what was happening. Pardon?
It was on the I Am Presence course, though. It was the whole interview was recorded on this I Am Presence course, which I'm sure if anybody's listening to, they probably would still be able to get. It was a fascinating interview, and I found it a little bit eerie and a little bit disconcerting, to be honest. And kind of, I felt in a way prophetic of actually what happened with her, maybe 8 or 9 months later. But anyway, she went into this deep meditative state, and she was able to talk about the whole thing about the Big Bang and how the Infinite Mother had created the Earth as a playground, and how the fall began, and how it had caused, you know, that rivalry and competition grew between the original ones, and that they turned to each other because they couldn't. Her life was so big that they couldn't really relate to her. So this Big Bang happened, and what I wondered, and I just wanted to see what your perspective on this was, Vanessa. But I thought, well, if that's the case, and she created the Earth for the original ones, and then the Big Bang happened, then was not life in existence before the Big Bang? Was it a physical existence, and was it a physical Earth? Or was it just that we were so part of the one that we weren't actually physical? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was never really clear. It was never really clear whether or not physical life existed at that point, or some form of physical existence. I do know that the density is what creates physical form. That's what they said in the science thing as well. And that makes sense, because the Earth is the densest planet, you know, and the densest place is where the most growth occurs, which is why we're pulling everything forward. But I just wondered, were we existing as individuations, like as expressions or whatever, as we are now at that time? Or were we just like waveforms?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Were we just consciousness?
We could have been consciousness. You know, we could have been the blue balls of light, for all we know. You know, because that apparently is. I remember Almin mentioning at one stage. I know this may have been actually a recent evolved state that happened after one of her retreats. But everything was shifted after one of her retreats. All over existence, as far as I'm aware. But in every living being, and the blue ball of light behind the belly button, and that's part of one of the meditations that you do as well, and you know, obviously one of the Merkaba as well, and you see this blue ball exploding and filling your field, right? But the thing is, a couple of years ago, at a retreat. People had a lot of,
Not so long ago.
I know, yeah, I'm going to say not so long ago. But anyway, I know, because I feel actually quite ancient when I say that, and I'm like, huh?
Many
years ago. I have been here for
many,
years.
Many years ago.
I'm ancient beyond the stars. But anyway, so anyway, you see, I can't really get distracted because I'm like, okay, I have to focus here. But she had said, I remember there was a lot of, the original ones apparently at that stage. I don't know if original ones is the right term even at this stage now, but anyway, I'll just use that for a point of reference so people who've been studying with Almin know where it's kind of coming from.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of fear about, you know, when, you know, there would be rebirth, or not rebirth, but people, you know, all of existence being remade, because
You know, people, you know, there was a fear of, like, what if you're absorbed back into the ocean of consciousness? Well, what happens? But do you just become the ocean of consciousness, and that you're not an individuation anymore? You're just part of the ocean of consciousness.
You're missing, so
you didn't have self-awareness. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you don't have self-awareness and you're just absorbed back into the ocean of consciousness, into the ocean of oneness and totally dissolved, then you were no longer an individuation. That was my understanding of it, that you were just removed from the privilege of having individuated life.
Yeah.
But I feel now, because there's been such a shift cosmically and on Earth also, and still occurring actually within the original ones and the major lights on Earth, because we're in a resurrection. And also, you know, like the monkey effect, one happens and it's going to ripple out throughout your reality. But anyway, the thing is, as far as I'm aware, and this could quite possibly, well, is possibly updated since the resurrection, but as far as I'm aware, every major light on Earth has a blue ball of light behind their belly button. So even if they are, I suppose, what they would perceive, you know, people were afraid that they might be absorbed, or if they're supposed to be absorbed back into the ocean of consciousness, then they're not totally dissolved. They will always be the blue ball of light.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. So they will maintain their individuation and also their own consciousness, their self-awareness of a being. You know what I mean? So they'll still have their expression, but just maybe in a different perspective. That's my feeling.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Perspective isn't even the right word, because if you're going into a state of resurrection, then, you know, you're moving beyond a state, or you're merging physicality and black light reality into oneness, into one. There's no separation. You're walking in between, you know, both one foot in black and one foot in white, you know, realities. But you're merging them both. So there's going to be no separation between life and death. It's a very deep shamanistic thing to do. And the way Amin is doing it is a very high, cutting edge, profound, sacred alchemy that she's using to assist humanity and those who feel the call to actually step up to the plate, really, and in spiritual maturity, taking responsibility for ourselves and our realities. And that's really what the time map is about, spiritual maturity, and also the runes are also about spiritual maturity, because it means that we're actually governing our own selves, and, you know, doing the work through sacred government, through self-government. And so it's really helping you to maybe look really at yourself and within, but it's also helping you to see where you are, at what stage you are expressing that, from what cycle of life. For example, today on the time map is about families and children and business partners. I really think they're interesting categories to be a business partner put in with your family, but I understand that also.
Well, relationship.
Yeah, it's relationship. Well, but it's just that's the category at the moment. And,
because, you know, you have various relationships with different people. So some of them are business relationships, some of them are personal.
Yeah,
and, you know.
Exactly. And they're different expressions. Yeah, exactly. So it's like,
yeah.
So that's just interesting. And I do find the time up quite good for that. Just to see where the influence of the day is coming from, and to see where it has sway. And, you know, obviously today is a good day for business meetings, which I observed in my environment in work today. You know, a man came in, you know, I think he worked for like this really high-end banking thing, I don't know. But anyway, it's very interesting that, you know, I realized I was having like a, you know, nearly a business meeting with this person without just being formal, if you know what I mean. You know, so
yeah.
It's quite interesting. And he, you know, he got what he needed, put it that way. But anyway, what I would like to share with everyone is today's angel also for the time map And you can call on an angel, and if you sign up to get a personal time up, you will also get a personal mantra for the year to help you live that, and an angel to help you live that. You can call that angel whenever you want. And today's angel is Pur Estabit. So I call the angel Pur Estabit to assist all that hear these words, to help them express their beloved mantra, in fertile abundance do I flourish and thrive. So this is today's mantra. Fertile abundance do I flourish and thrive. So it's lovely because, you know, at least you know what to express even in that moment. And, you know, I did acknowledge that when I was looking at the beautiful sacred stars tonight, the sentient stars in the sky. I mean, the entire sky was just lit up. That's all I can say. It's like a light show up there. You know? It's just so magnificent.
I think
I did it very hard to leave.
Vanessa, when you're talking about, I mean, I spoke to you about this. I'm not going to get into the details of it now, but I spoke to you earlier about financial things that have come up for me today, interestingly. And I think that what she does is she picks up on the things that are going to be issues for people on any given day, and she makes mantras or affirmations or whatever you want to call them to almost to counterbalance them so that they become, so that you can turn something that was maybe not necessarily pleasant into something that where you can be uplifted beyond a certain paradigm. And I definitely felt for me today something big happened around the finances. The financial stuff, I haven't watched anything to do with whether there was issues with stock markets or something, but I did feel that something happened. And I also got this sense that, I know Amin has mentioned recently about how we had chosen to stay behind in this reality. Just, I think, fairly recently we made a decision that we were going to stay here because humanity needed to be uplifted. We had decided to take on some of their, well, probably a lot of their stuff to uplift it. So for me personally, there are things coming up that I'm really surprised are coming up at this point, because I'm thinking I am so beyond this at this point. It's really, really strange that it should be coming up now. And to be honest, it's really upsetting. But I think that this is part of it. I think it's uplifting areas of life that humanity are not actually able to deal with right now. And one of the big ones is finances.
I think for a lot of people, sweetie, and you could just be on behalf of the many, you know?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's what it's about. It's not an easy road. I tell anybody who's new to this stuff, I mean, it's really, really not. It's a hugely brave and courageous path to go down if you do choose to go down this road, because you literally, the more, I suppose, the more conscious you become, the more responsibility you have. And I know it's a gift in one way, but it's also like you have to really... You have to really be not afraid to leave everything behind, everything, every person in your environment, every single little comforting belief that you have. You have to be ready to carry so much that you just didn't even think, and not just carry it, but process it. So that it can be uplifted and moved into a different level of being and whatever. I mean, and I think as well, it's the reason that there should not be any judgment about any situation or where you might find yourself, because you may be doing something that is not really your stuff, but that is but you're actually, you've chosen to process at some level to help.
Yeah.
You know,
Arlene did mention that. She did mention it.
Yeah,
so
she
people are, you know, taking on certain things because humanity wasn't able to, you know, and that's why we're here, actually. That's why we've chosen to stay, because they weren't able to. They would have, millions would have died, Joanne. Millions would have died if we didn't. So anyway, let's move on, because I'm very grateful for you sharing, Joanne, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who feel exactly what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
Okay, I would like to speak about Almeen's manifestation webinar. So there was a question because it's coming up, and they said, I really realize Almeen's voice is still recovering, but I miss hearing her teachings in her soothing voice. Any chance of that? And so the answer is, Almeen has given extensive in-service training to her support team to prepare them to convey the cutting-edge revelations she received during this recent silent retreat. These training sessions were spread out over several weeks, and captured as recordings in response to many requests for a chance to experience the new metaphysics of manifestation. Almeen has decided the new metaphysics of manifestation. That's actually ringing in my ears. Almeen has decided to have these recordings presented as a webinar in which we'll hear, we'll weave them all together. It will be held at the beginning of Passover night. At the beginning of Passover, right after the full moon, on Saturday, the 23rd of April. So we'll keep you posted about the three-hour event titled Becoming a Master of Manifestation, and that is something I really want to do because I just felt the call, because Almeen did have an audio on, and it's still there on the diary. If you scroll back, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com, click on the diary. You'll see the recent post Almeen Manifestation webinar, but there's also one, and it's a call for people to go to the Russian retreat that's coming up. And I won't be in Ireland at that stage, but I will definitely have them in my heart, and I will be tuning into them every single day because I really felt the call to do that. But the new, the new metaphysics of manifestation, it's basically secrets of manifestation, the meaning of this event. So the mystical secrets of the high art of manifestation. Sorry? And there is
Pardon? That's really funny. You heard me talking to you in your mind. I can hear it tapping.
What in Costas, no?
No, it was, no.
I
can hear it tapping.
Okay, because I thought it was someone else.
Is it what I think it
is? Go ahead. Well, I heard someone speaking. And I feel like my telepathy has been activated a bit more in this specific week because I've been picking up on things a lot. Having a lot of visions. This evening when I came back from seeing the beautiful sentient stars, it was like I was closing down multiple realities or, you know, different threads of different things. So this is what I was referring to here just about. I just don't want to get sidetracked for a second, but I did hear that, Joanne. I did on my television that I heard something there, someone talking. You said you weren't speaking.
I heard it tapping.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So the secret of manifestation. Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. We'll speak more about this maybe after the show if you have time. Secrets of manifestation. The meaning of this event. So, mystical secrets of the high art of manifestation. That's on March the 25th to the 27th. And the early bird is 350 through to... No, is that right? Yeah. 350 to February 29th. That's already after happening, so I don't understand. Yeah. So this was basically, this was the calling that Almeen felt, and she put it out. So this is what I was saying, the audio, if you want to find the audio. This is basically what she was saying, why it's come about. So she was saying, Almeen elaborates why she designed the curriculum for secrets of manifestation and how it relates to the changing nature of matter on Earth. So that may be what you're picking up on, Joanne. She explains how the unfolding reality of resurrection is upgrading matter, releasing the power and energy that was required to hold its more coarse and primitive state in place. Recently, Almeen received missing keys pertaining to both the immediacy and intent of manifestation. I was given a key in work today. Someone left it behind. They lost it, and it was handed to me. The internalization of these keys will enable us to steer the power and energy released from coarse matter, lest it generate chaos, as it started to do in 2015. Taking responsibility for directing this power and energy means putting our house in order and will enable us to create heaven on earth. About the secrets of manifestation, this is a transcript. My beloved life family, this is from Amin. I'm not going to read all of it because you can actually hear it on an audio here, because I know I'm aware of the time here. So look, you can look at it, and the audio is great, and you will really feel Amin. I mean, I actually cried when I heard her voice because I felt so much, to be honest. Do you know what, Joanne? I don't know if we've time, but I'd like to play the beautiful song I uploaded, Love Song, from Stars. Do you know how much more? Yeah, time is left.
We have now about 8 minutes.
Oh, okay. So I think if we play that, and then we can come back and, you know, do our thing, say goodnight or say goodnight now.
Yeah, I think we can nearly just say goodnight now. I mean, have you anything else that you need to say, or?
I'm trying to see if there was anything else. There was one little thing about the gaining consciousness, gaining weight. Okay. I was kind of a little bit like, sorry, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
I know.
I kind of felt if we are who we are, and if we can change all of life with changing ourselves, then why not change that within ourselves and in the configuration within our brains, so that we don't need to.
I think we can do anything, Vanessa. I think we can do anything.
Exactly. And my point is,
some of it is discipline. And, if you don't need to eat as much, then just don't eat. You know, like if you're not hungry, don't eat.
No, I'm aware of that, but my point is, Yeah, I just feel we were picking up on this because obviously, we went through a phase of like, God, what's the story with the food thing? You know, we've been eating more than what? What's going on? And we both agreed, and we were like, what? And we realized that's the thing about it. When you're walking in sync with the divine, you can just observe these things happening through your environment and how synchronistic things are happening in your environment. And then you might see something posted on spiritual journeys, and you're going, oh, my God, that's what was going on. But, you know, because I don't really eat lots, to be honest. You know, it's really listening to your body and why are you actually eating this? Do you need it? Why? It can be just for joy, you know, or just because I want to experience.
I think a lot of the time people eat for comfort as well.
Some people do,
You know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do. I know I certainly do sometimes. Yeah. Like I'll drink a cup of tea because I like the warmth of it in my body. So it's definitely, for me, hot drinks are comfort for me, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. I'm not going to say all of my things I do for, you know, just tea or whatever, you know, but I do notice I do that in work as well, you know, it's like if it's cold where I work,
I
can actually, you know, make my hot cup of tea and it's like, oh God, it's lovely. So, but it's not all cold there, but, you know, sometimes. Anyway, on that note, let us play Love Song from the Stars. Darling.
Nice, Vanessa.
Good night, and thank
you,
Joanne, so much.
Thank you, my love.
Thank you so much for your insight. I'm really grateful for you making the show magical.
Thank you, my lovely. You're beautiful.
Thank you, and I will talk with you later. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everyone.